Welcome to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode number 31. Welcome to this week's Martin Bailey's Photography Podcast. Although including similar colours makes for well-balanced images, using contrasting colours can make for dramatic and often pleasing images. We'll take a look at a colour wheel to find the reasons why some images work. I also want to say congratulations to Forrest Tanaka, a long-time member and contributor to the MBP Forum, for winning the April MBP Members Prize. This is the prize that I've been awarding until now, basically randomly picking one active member from the previous month and awarding them an original print of the shot of their choice from my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com. From this month, though, listeners are going to have to work a little harder for the prize. We are going to start a photography assignment. Listen out at the end of the podcast for details on the theme and the guidelines for participating in the assignment. Remember that you can now stream this podcast to your desktop and click on the images that will change automatically in the player as we progress through the podcast. To do this, go to martinbaileyphotography.com and click on podcast from either the top menu or the small podcast section on the top page, and then select the episode from the list. And then you can see a little orange button that says stream podcast. Click on the stream podcast button for the episode you want to listen to, and the player will start automatically and then start to stream the audio to your desktop. You can also click the thumbnails in the table or enter the number of the image that I will give as we proceed through the podcast into the field on the top page or the podcast page, and then click the orange button to display it. Choose the method that you want to view the images as we progress. So, as I said in the introduction, today I'm going to talk about using contrasting colours in your images. Let's first take a look at image number 56, in which you can see a bright orange poppy in a bed of baby blue eyes flowers. This image was shot at the end of April 2002 with my D30, the first DSLR that I owned. And I was using my old EF 28-135mm f3.5-5.6 IS lens. It was shot at f11 for a deepish depth of field and a shutter speed of 1/320th of a second at ISO 100. I had exposure compensated to the tune of -2/3 of a stop and used a circular polarizer filter, both to maintain good exposure in this high contrast shot and also to increase the saturation in the colors. The thing that prompted today's podcast, though, was not the contrast in light, as we can see by the harsh shadows in this image, but the contrast in colour. I want to try something now, if you are at a computer with web access, to back up what I'm talking about. I've added a colour wheel to my site that will allow you to click on and add colours to a list for comparison. There is a link to the page in the show notes, and also, you will be able to see Colour Wheel under the Quick Link section on the top page at my website. If you want to enter the address manually, it is martinbaileyphotography.com/colourwheel.php. And that's colour with a U, so C-O-L-O-U-R, wheel. I guess I'm trying to cling on to my British roots here by adding that U in there. Open the colour wheel in a new window because I want you to position one browser window with the colour wheel visible and another window with the poppy image number 56 that we just looked at visible in another part of your screen. You don't need to be able to see all of both windows, and just enough so that you can see for now the best part of the colour wheel window and the orange flower and some of the blue flowers in the image window. Now, place your mouse over the colour wheel and move it around until you see an orange similar to that of the orange poppy. It doesn't need to be the exact same orange, but try and get close. If you look at the three vertical rectangles below the colour wheel, you'll see the colours changing and the numbers in the box is also changing. Once you get something close to the orange of the poppy, click the colour wheel. Each time you click the wheel, the colour will be added to the list of colours that starts off grey at the left of the screen. The hex value for the colour will also be added to the list. A couple of oranges that I've just added, just for reference, are FFBB33 and FFAA00. Now, with your mouse still over the wheel, draw an imaginary line diagonally across the wheel to around the same position on the opposite side of the wheel, and then move your mouse across to that point and take a look at the colours in the three blue strips below the wheel. You'll now see, hopefully, a light blue similar to the colour of the baby blue eyes flowers in the poppy shot. Click the mouse again and add the blue to the list on the left of the colour wheel, and then you will now be able to see the two contrasting colours and hopefully be able to appreciate why the poppy and the baby blue eyes shot is so eye-catching. Now, I can't pretend that I had this in mind when I was making this image. I was pretty excited last night when I started preparing for this episode and adding the colour wheel page to my site, and I realised just how perfectly opposite these two colours are. I'd say that the gardeners at the Showa Kinen Koen, or park, where I shot this, were aware of the colour contrast when they planted these two patches of flowers. Lucky for me, though, a few of the orange poppies from one patch had found their way into the patch of baby blue eyes. To go into just a little detail about the chart that we've just looked at, it's known as an HSV or HSB colour wheel. HSV stands for hue, saturation and value, and HSB stands for hue, saturation and brightness. The hue is the colour itself, the saturation is how vibrant the colour is, ranging from black to the colour at its strongest or the purest value, then going out to white. You can see this by moving your mouse in a straight line from the very centre of the colour wheel to the outsides through any single colour that you can see on there. You can also click on a colour such as pure red, seen by the value FF0000 in the vertical rectangles below the colour wheel. And having clicked it, the square to the right of the colour will change to red in the top right, going down to black as we move down to the right bottom side of the square, or diagonally across to the bottom left, and changing to pure white as we move across the top of the square to the left. Once a colour is selected, you can also use the J, K and L keys on your keyboard to rotate through all of the hues in the colour wheel. J will rotate slowly counterclockwise, K will rotate quickly clockwise, and L will rotate you through the hues slowly clockwise. You can also click on Enter or P to add the colour to the list on the left as you move around the wheel. There are two commonly known colour models, the RGB and the CMYK colour models, or colour spaces as they're often known. RGB is additive and is what is commonly used with computer monitors or televisions. Your TV screen with no light passing through it at all, or turned off, is black, as you know. As you add light in varying degrees for each colour, you can create all of the other imaginable colours. That is, if you add nothing but red, so as we saw earlier, FF0000, then that's what you'll see. You'll see just red. But then add equal amounts of red and blue together, and you'll create magenta. Likewise, equal amounts of red and green will make yellow, and equal amounts of green and blue will make cyan. Equal amounts of all three will make white in the RGB model. In this model, red, green and blue are known as the primary colours, and As most of us are viewing our images on computer screens, this is the model that I'll use to continue discussing this topic. The other colour model I just mentioned is CMYK. Most of you will know this from the colour of the inks that you put into your printer. Paper has no light source as a rule, so we are laying colours onto a white base. The opposite of the RGB colour space that where we start at black. CMYK stands for cyan, magenta, yellow and black. Now, I don't know for sure why black is K, and presume that it's because B is also used for blue, and so the last character, K, was used. But also, in Japanese, the word for black is kuro, K-U-R-O, starting with a K. So I sometimes wonder if this has anything to do with the reason for the CMYK's K being K. Maybe it had a tiny part to do with it, being as the Japanese have been at the forefront of most of these technological advances. Anyway, getting back to the explanation, with the CMYK model, which is a subtractive colour model, if you add equal quantities of cyan magenta, you get blue. If you add equal quantities of yellow and cyan, you will get green. And equal quantities of yellow and magenta will give you red. Equal quantity of all three will theoretically get you black, but as true black on paper is not achievable due to limitations of the inks, the true black was added to the model. As cyan, magenta and yellow are also the colours created by mixing red, green and blue in the RGB model, I'm going to call these secondary colours as we get further into today's podcast. One last thing to note is that although I'm calling this episode contrasting colours, I do not mean clashing colours. In an artistic sense, the colours that sit opposite to each other on the HSV colour wheel are called complementary colours. I'm going to stick with contrasting colours as a title, though, as there are there's lots of contrast between them. Indeed, contrast means two extremes in brightness, and complementary colours, when appearing together, tend to appear brighter than they might just by themselves. Let's now take a look at another image, number 220, that was shot about a month before the last image in 2002, with my old EF 17-35 f2.8L lens at f4.5 for 1/20th of a second, and the ISO set to 100. If I'd shot this more recently, I probably would have gone about the actual shot a little bit differently, but let's do the colour wheel thing again here. First, let's move the mouse over the colour wheel until we find a purple or violet, the same colour as these wood violet flowers. I've just added 8855FF to the list on the left side of the colour wheel. Now, once again, move your mouse to the opposite side of the wheel and you'll see that you have a green similar to that of the surrounding foliage in the image. Once again, I hope this helps to understand my point. Like the last shot, this was not a conscious thing. I wasn't carrying around a colour wheel looking for contrasting colours. What I would say did happen, though, is that the scene appealed to me because of the contrasting colours. Let's also think about using primary colours, red, green and blue, in composition. Everyone knows that these colours are striking and have a certain amount of contrast when used together. If not as striking, though, as the previous examples. Let's look at image 714, in which we can see a whole load of red berries in lush green leaves. The berries are set off by the raindrops, and the general overcast conditions help bring out the saturation in both the berries and the foliage. I shot this at minus one stop exposure compensation, as it was quite a dull day, and I didn't want the camera to normalize the exposure and make it too bright. This was shot at ISO 400, again because of the low light, using my 100mm f2.8 macro lens with the aperture set to f4 for a shallow depth of field. The shutter speed was 1/100th of a second, the slowest shutter speed advisable for hand-holding, which I was doing here as my better half was getting impatient and wanted to move on. Getting back to the colour though, we can see what happens here when using red and green, two primary colours, in the same shot. Not quite as contrast as the last two images, but it still has quite a lot of contrast and helps to give your images a boost. In the next shot, image number 510, we can see an example of red with blue with these bright autumn leaves against a bright blue sky. This was shot in Kyoto, the old capital of Japan, with my 20D and again with the 17-35mm f2.8L lens. I used a circular polarizer to saturate both the leaves and the sky, and an aperture of f5 for 1/100th of a second. The ISO for this shot was also ISO 100. F5 is enough to get a reasonable amount of depth of field at 26mm, which is what I shot this at. I was lucky enough to have some nice fluffy white clouds in the frame here too, to stop the blue sky from becoming a little bit too overbearing. If we take a look at the colour wheel, we can see that red, green and blue are positioned at equal thirds around the wheel. In between those thirds are the secondary colours, yellow, cyan and magenta. So as we skip around the wheel in thirds, we can find more patterns of colours that contrast in this, to a similar degree. Let's look at image number 479, which shows a close-up of a cosmos flower. This was shot with my 100mm f2.8 macro lens, again with the 20D at ISO 200. The aperture was set to f8 to get the central yellow area in focus, and the shutter speed was 1/20th of a second. Needless to say, I was using a tripod. The bright magenta colour of this flower can be found at around BB0088 in the colour wheel. If we then skip one third around the colour wheel, anti-clockwise or counterclockwise over the red, we can find a yellow similar to that of the stamen and pollen at around FFFF11. Let's take a look at image number 619 now of a ladybird, or ladybug, I guess, for our listeners in the US. On some bright yellow rape flowers. Once again, the 100mm f2.8 macro lens on my 20D with an aperture of f5.6 for 1,250th of a second. I was using ISO 400, as if I recall correctly, it was a little breezy on the day that I shot this, so I was trying to freeze the movement. Here we can see a nice red and a bright yellow, which we can see are neighbours in the colour wheel. Red is a primary colour and yellow is the secondary colour, so we've identified a third pattern of combinations that works quite nicely. The last image for today shows us another way to get contrast in our images, though not truly between multiple colours. In shot number 603, we can see some very bright yellow rape flowers against a black background. It is arguable whether black is a colour, as you know, all colours, as we've seen, go to black if their brightness is lowered enough. But putting a bright colour against a black background is also a good way to show contrast in the colour of the subject, and so probably should not be ruled out. So there you have a few examples of colour contrast. I hope playing with the colour wheel has helped you get some of this into perspective. It sure did for me. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, today I'm launching a photography assignment. Submissions will be posted to the mbpgalleries.com website. So if you want to participate, go ahead and create an account at mbpgalleries.com. Although I've been waiting to start the photography assignment until I got a linkage between the main site and the MBP Galleries site, I've just not had time to complete this work yet. So I'll have to ask you to register twice for now. Sorry for the inconvenience, but hopefully it won't be too much of a problem. The rules for the assignment are as follows. Number one is only one image per member per assignment. Right now, it's possible to upload more than one image to the gallery that I've set up in the MVP Galleries website, but all but your last upload will be removed at the cutoff date. Right now, I'm thinking to make the cutoff date April 30th, 2006. Rule number two is only new images, please. The idea of the assignment is to shoot with a purpose. Going through your old stock and finding something appropriate will not help you grow as a photographer. Wherever possible, ensure that you save or save as in Photoshop as well, and not save for web, as save as preserves the EXIF data on your images so that you can prove that the shot was actually made after the launch of the assignment, which is today, April 3rd, 2006. Rule number three, at a certain date, as I say, probably the end of April, the album will be locked to prevent further uploads, and the voting function will be turned on for a set period, probably 1 or 2 weeks. Comments and voting will be turned off until that point. Rule number four is all members are able to vote once for each image, and voting will be possible for a week or so, as I say. It's possible, though, to vote low for images, to lower other members' images' overall rating. Please don't do this. I can see existing members' voting trends, and I will take this into account when deciding the winner. I guess what I'm saying is please only vote for people whose images you like, or for images that you like, and don't run around setting everyone else's vote to zero, to bring their average down, because I'll be able to see what you're doing. Rule number six is I will decide the actual winner while bearing the vote counts and trends in mind, and my decision will be final and not negotiable. I don't want loads of flame mail from members that think they should have won. I expect deciding this to be very difficult, though, and I will give full reasons for why and how I've chosen one particular image. Finally, the prize for the winner will continue to be an original print of your choice on the paper of your choice from my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com, worth over $100. Following today's main topic, the theme for the first assignment is contrasting colours. Remember that in artistic terms, this can also be thought of as complementary colours. Also, we can think of colours that are one third of the way around the chart or even right next to each other. But they'll need to be well saturated to appear to contrast. As an assignment theme, this is a pretty open to individual interpretation and relatively easy, I think, to shoot for. The subject can be anything you want. Today I've used mainly nature photos to illustrate my point, but you can find colours that contrast in many everyday subjects. It might be, say, a line of cars, bottles or jars lined up on a shop shelf, shelves full of various fruit, just about anything colourful could be a subject. But one last piece of advice is that the closer the colour to the true primary or secondary colours and the higher the saturation of the colours, the more contrast the viewer will perceive. The important thing is that you get out and shoot with a purpose. I too will be shooting with this assignment in mind this month, and I might post my own attempt, though I will not be running in the running for the prize, obviously. Good luck, and I can't wait to see your submissions. If you have any queries about the assignment, please post them in the forum, and I'll start a new forum for this if necessary. Finally today, before we close, and I'm sorry for starting to sound like a broken record, but if you haven't already completed the listener's survey and you can spare 5 minutes, please locate the link on the small podcast section on the top page, or linked with a larger graphic on the podcast page, and complete it for me. I've also posted an announcement in the forum about this with a link, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. Completing the survey will enable me to learn more about you and hopefully find me a sponsor for the podcast at some point. So once again, good luck with the assignment. If you are going to give it a bash, that is. And if you're not, whatever you're doing this week, I hope you have a great time doing it. Keep on shooting anyway. Bye-bye.